Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media.
Look, you are fake news.
A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Thursday. That means Wayne Allen Root War Now. He'll join us just an hour from now. There is troubling news, not unexpected. Unemployment rates went way up across the country. And in case you're wondering, the rate of increase in unemployment claims, Nevada leads the nation. That also is not unexpected. Joining us now from his home in beautiful New Hampshire, snowbound New Hampshire, Corey Lewandowski. He joins us. Corey, first of all, thank you for joining us. And tell me how you and your family are getting along.
You know, Kevin, it's a unique circumstance because I'm a guy who is so used to being on the road 5 days a week and have been for the last five-plus years as I've been part of this Trump train that we've had the opportunity to enjoy. And now I've been home for 2 weeks and a day, and it's really a unique thing. My kids are all home from school because they're doing virtual learning. Today they're doing virtual piano. And you wouldn't believe, but virtual piano is just as loud as regular piano, in case you're wondering at the house.
That does not surprise me. Tell me how badly hit New Hampshire is with this coronavirus. We always hear about the nightmare that's going on in New York, in California, in Washington. But what about for your state?
You know, we're a small state, and we've got a small population, about 1.2 million people. And so I think people, by and large, have respected the notion of social distancing. We've got about 20 cases right now, and out of an abundance of caution, the governor has closed the schools for a couple weeks, 3 weeks total in New Hampshire. He's asked businesses to not open if it's not necessary. There is not a strict, hard, fast order like they have in New York, or now we're seeing in Chicago, where they're saying if you go out and exercise, you could potentially be arrested for that. Look, I think every state and every county and every municipality has to make their own decisions based on the information that they have and what's best, because what works in New York City is not necessarily what works best in the western part of the country, where people have land and they can roam and they can do their thing. And so I think it's really up to local control, and that's what this should be about.
Is this the way we should be doing it, or should there be a federal policy on, stand in place, should it be a federal policy, or do you honestly think each governor or even each mayor should have some say in this?
Well, I do not believe this should be a federal policy. I think the guidelines coming from the federal government are important, and the communication that the coronavirus task force has been giving every day, led by the president, the vice president, at these press conferences every day. But at the end of the day, we are a country that elects people at the local level to make decisions, whether that's school board, city council, selectmen, whatever it may be, aldermen. Those are the people who ultimately are closest to the people that they represent, and they should be able to make decisions for those people. And I think there's accountability. And I think right now you see some governors trying to pass the buck on to the president so that they hold him and not themselves accountable. And look, what no one is talking about anymore is that Governor Cuomo literally called out the National Guard to surround a town in New York with them to confine people into that community. I can't think of any time in modern American history that that has ever been done, but it clearly did not stop or prevent the additional spread of the coronavirus in New York. And I'm not trying to belittle that, not at all. But can you imagine for one second if the president called out the U.S. Army to surround a town in any given state, the uproar that the media would have had? There was basically no response from the media because it was Governor Cuomo.
There's been a lot of controversy just in the last few days. The president a couple of days ago said he'd like to at least begin reopening the country up as early as Easter Sunday. And I guess my question is, do you think that's achievable? Do you think we can open up in sections? How is this going to work?
Well, I really hope as look, I'm a Roman Catholic, and Easter Sunday is the holiest of holy days of all of the calendar days for those who practice the Catholic religion. And so the opportunity to go to church in a safe environment is important. But I also believe in social distancing. And what I think you have to remember here is there are certain demographics of people who are going to be disproportionately impacted. The elderly people, clearly, we see that they have a much higher mortality rate if they contract the coronavirus than a healthy 35-year-old male. We know people that have respiratory problems or aren't fully healthy have more risk than those who are. That being said, we cannot, in my opinion, simply close the U.S. government and the U.S. economy for 2 months to possibly prevent the spread of a virus. I think we have to be smart, and if you have symptoms, you should stay home. Don't do yourselves any favor by going to work. We've now passed through the Senate a $2.2 trillion spending bill to help provide relief for those people who are hourly wage earners or small business owners who are directly impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. But at some point, and I know there is a discussion going on in the White House, we have to reopen our economy. We have to allow people who want to go back to work to be able to go back to work. It is an essential component of who we are and the freedoms that we've enjoyed, but we must do so in a responsible manner.
How do we do that? Tell me what that will look like. Will it be the opening up, West Texas, and hey, you guys are free to go about and go back to work and open up your restaurants, open up your bars, and essentially reopening certain sections of America? How, Corey? Tell me how this will work.
Well, Kevin, I really believe that this should be left to the decisions of the governors of their respective states. And what we know is what is taking place in New York City, where we have the highest number of coronavirus cases, is partially because it's an 8 million person city. To put that in perspective, that's about 7 times the population of my home state of New Hampshire, all confined into New York City, which means if one person, Mary, gets on the elevator of her building and she has the virus and she coughs on the numbers and the next 40 people come on and they press the same button or similar, they're now potentially going to be infected because of the way the virus works. Okay, that is one set of rules. But I think when you look at cities like Texas and Nevada and Wyoming and North Dakota and South Dakota and Montana, you've got vast amounts of land out there, and you've got people who can interact in a responsible manner, and they should have the right to not be locked down into their homes if they are not a threat. And businesses can continue to survive. And what we're seeing now is governors are making good decisions, but they're also saying to those local mayors of their respective communities, if you want to have special rules for your community, your town, your county, you're welcome to do that. But one size fits all does not work in this country.
You are a senior advisor to the Trump 2020 reelect campaign, and I got to ask you, have you had any contact since this coronavirus thing started with the president, and if so, how's he holding up? I mean, he's on TV every day for an hour and a half with these crazy briefings.
Well, he's amazing. Look, I had the privilege to have dinner with the president about that 2 weeks ago, right before this whole thing exploded and the world came to a very dramatic change than what we now see it. He was in the best of spirits. He knew that this was something that was going to be very serious. The campaign has talked about it. And by and large, out of respect for what is transpiring, the campaign has really pulled back its efforts, and rightfully so. The White House right now is focused on governing and making sure that the American people are safe and that there is a plan to put forth so we can put our economy back on track. That's what the White House is doing. From the campaign side, where I serve as a senior advisor, we have stopped all of our rallies, as you know. We're now doing virtual training. We're doing virtual rallies. We're holding a series of phone calls, and we're asking our volunteers to make phone calls from home to talk to more people. And it's a very different campaign that we've had the opportunity to turn around that we didn't anticipate. And if you would have looked back at the campaign, at the President's State of the Union in early February, where he talked about how strong our union was, we saw a path at that point that made us very comfortable, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, but very good on the path that we were going. The Democrats were in chaos between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden and others still fighting for the nomination, and we knew that the economy was strong and the president was delivering on his campaign promises, promises made, promises kept. Fast forward to where we are. We are now 6 weeks later. This president is standing up for every American, leading our country at a time of crisis. He will make sure our economy is back on track. He will make sure Americans stay safe. And when people go to the ballot box in November, they're going to look back at the way that he brought the private sector together with the best in the government to resolve this crisis as quickly as possible. And then they're going to return Donald Trump and Mike Pence to the White House for four more years.
So how will the message change? You talk about how the volunteers, the supporters of the president and the campaign, how they're working phones rather than knocking on doors and going door to door. So how does the message change when everybody is consumed with this coronavirus thing?
Well, now, look, what we're talking about now is how do we prevent this from happening? What are we doing from the government side to help people survive both economically, physically and economically in this time of this pandemic? And we've seen the president has pushed Congress to continue to pass spending bills to provide economic relief. And look, I've got some concerns, and I think your listeners would too, with some of the money that's in those giant pork barrel spending bills, you know, $35 or $30 million for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., $300 million for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Those things have nothing to do with alleviating the economic harm that the corona pandemic has put on this country, but that's what happens, and so I don't love that. But what we are seeing now is we have a leader, and you look at the public opinion polls right now, and by and large, the American people not only agree with, but approve of the job that the president and the vice president are doing to fix this problem of the corona pandemic. When you've got governors like Governor Cuomo of New York and Governor Newsom of California saying that this administration has been a pleasure to work with and that they have an open door policy, what that tells me is partisan politics are put aside and he is working for all of the American people right now. That is reflected, I think, of the will of him to make sure that every person in this country is treated with respect and fairly and has the best opportunity to survive this pandemic.
Again, Corey Lewandowski, the senior advisor to the Trump 2020 reelect. You've spent a lot of time in New York. Do you have any idea on how to fix New York? Because 56%, something like that, of the coronavirus positives are right there in New York City. New York City.
But it's so hard because you've got a population that's just squeezed into, you know, such a small geographic area. It's not like Nevada. It's not like Texas, right? We've got 8 million people sitting there in these apartment buildings, and, you know, they're all walking in and touching the same door, and they're all touching the same buttons on the elevator, and they're all jammed together all the time. And, you know, many of your listeners, I'm sure, have seen that you walk down the street, and you're elbow to shoulder with the people walking down the street. It's you know, it's organized chaos in New York City. And so I think for a city like New York, what you need to do is you do need to practice social distancing. You do need to make sure that people are staying away from others right now. But look, I've got a small piece of land in New Hampshire. While we are confined, you know, self-confined to our property, my kids are outside every day. I've got them doing yard work and shoveling the snow yesterday and riding their bikes and taking the dog for a walk. And all of those things that we would normally be doing, we're still doing. We're not interacting as much with our friends and our family outside, but because we've got the opportunity to spread out a little bit, I think the people who live in areas like you do and I do are probably a little better off than those people who are stuck in their 600-square-foot studio apartment in New York City.
In our final couple of minutes, there was the question yesterday and even the day before that about people who are trying to escape New York, going to North Carolina, going to Florida, and that they are being asked to self-quarantine for 14 days. Everybody, I guess, must be on the honor system. The question is, we have a travel ban with China. We have a travel ban with Europe. Do we have a travel ban from New York?
Well, no, I don't think we should. But I do think you have to respect the request that if you're leaving New York City and you have potentially interacted with somebody or you are feeling symptoms, to self-quarantine is the right thing to do. Look, we know that this pandemic has no geographic boundary, no socioeconomic boundary, no racial boundary. Whether you're Prince Charles in the UK or you're Rand Paul, you can contract this virus. So, you know, if you're in New York City and you're leaving that area, my guess is you're probably driving, if you can, to a new location. And there's any possibility that you came into contact with someone who might have been inflicted with this, self-quarantine. It's not that hard to do. It means spending time at home, spending time with a smaller group of people, maybe just your immediate family, and making sure that you're taking the precautions of really cleaning things around you, which is Clorox wiping, you know, handles and washing your hands and practicing good hygiene. We shouldn't be doing that only when we have a pandemic. That should be something that should be standard practice for us all the time.
Corey, if you have to hunker down, I can't think of a better place than New Hampshire. Godspeed to you and your family. Hunker down. Be safe. And we will talk again, on a brighter day, let's say.
Thank you, Kevin. And you do the same and be safe as well.
Thanks, man. Corey Lewandowski joining us from New Hampshire, joining us live and local now.
Hi, this is Diamond and Silk. If you can see mountains in Nevada, listen to Kevin Wall on the Nevada Talk Network.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't go a whole year without a healthcare program. Sign up with Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, they are not insurance. That means you can sign up any time of the year. Liberty HealthShare has no network. You are free to pick your own doctors, hospitals, and providers. And there are no contracts. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has memberships for singles, couples, and families of any size. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Our U.S. Constitution is amazing. It's full of what's called negative rights, designed to protect us from the corrupt powers of a dictatorship.
Like our right to worship our own God, not some official state religion.
Our right to prevent the government from seizing our property without paying fair market value for it.
Or our right to be tried by a jury of our peers, people like us, not by some star tribunal.
And that's why America has become the richest, most just society in the world.
Other countries force so-called positive rights onto their citizens. These enable one group to take from another group their free speech, money, and choice by using government force. Socialists love wielding this power over people.
Sometimes we take our freedoms for granted, but we can lose our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and become like Venezuela or North Korea, failed, brutal socialist regimes.
We need your help to spread the good news about our amazing U.S. Constitution. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702 596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
For years now, you've heard me talking about Real Water. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I just can't get over the clean, smooth taste and how great it makes me feel. I won't drink anything else. But there's more than just great taste to Real Water. There's real science behind why it's so good. It's infused with negative ions, which basically means it has a bunch of extra electrons. You see, those negative ions help you hydrate on a cellular level and provide a powerful antioxidant effect. I told my friends Brent and Amy, the owners of Real Water, that I wanted to offer my listeners a special on Real Water, and they agreed. So here's the deal. Go to Amazon and search Real Water. It's the blue rectangular bottle that says Real Water. Add it to your cart, and when you proceed to checkout, there'll be a coupon section. Put in 10WALL. That's the number 10WALL, all caps, no spaces, and you'll receive a 10% discount. It doesn't get much better than that. Great tasting Real Water with all its beneficial properties delivered right to your door. I know you'll love it. Trust me. You will taste and feel this difference.
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet at gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
Now, you might think that's the Ides of March. Is that the Ides of March?
You were a friend, a stranger in the black sedan. I want you hop inside my car. I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man. I'd like to take you to the nearest store.
Yeah?
Who is it?
This is Leonid and Friends, real Russian collusion on this show.
And that's from like 50 years ago.
Yeah, 50 years ago this month the song was released. And they nail it.
I would not know the difference. That's wild. More to come as we continue. We're going to continue to follow what's going on. Nancy Pelosi has been speaking. When are they eventually going to get to the stimulus bill? Looks like it's going to be tomorrow before they do. We'll talk about that more coming up live and local now.
Did you love that or what?
Right.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again.
Let's taco about real food, real fast. Taco Time's fish taco is a mouth-watering blast. Real ocean cod tossed in a crunchy potato crust, cooked to golden perfection, wrapped in a home-style tortilla with shredded cheddar cheese, crispy crunchy cabbage, and sassy salsa fresca. We bring the awesome with our creamy lime and cilantro sauce. Now that's what I'm tacoing about. Try the fish taco at Taco Time, where real ingredients make better food.
Are you sick of a do-nothing Congress? I am. My name is Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your voice in Nevada's 4th Congressional District. Let me be frank. I'm not a career politician. I am a veteran who earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan, and I'm a business owner. I don't want to nibble at the edges. I want to get things done. I'm running to get real results on securing our borders, reforming Congress, balancing the budget, all while keeping our economy thriving. Join me by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sam Peters.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As the coronavirus spreads, literally shutting down the U.S. economy, the head of the Fed says
we may well be in a recession.
But Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says he expects once the coronavirus eases in the United States, the economy is going to come roaring back.
Again, I would point to the difference between this and a normal recession. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with our economy. Quite the contrary. The economy performed very well right through February.
He was speaking on NBC's Today Show. The U.S. Labor Department today does report a record-breaking total of unemployment claims last week, 3.3 million during a normal week in recent years. The number would hover around 200,000. Johns Hopkins researchers tracking the number of cases and deaths from the virus say there have now been at least 1,050 deaths in the United States. This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Could Indianapolis be in position to hold its first doubleheader? I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today, midday.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-242-1706. 800-242-1706. 800-242-1706.
There has been a lot of recent speculation as to how the NASCAR schedule could look depending on how long the COVID-19 shutdown will go on for. As of now, the NASCAR season is scheduled to resume on May 9th at the Martinsville Speedway in Virginia. NASCAR is currently scheduled to race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on July 4th weekend, and online rumblings have IMS officials looking at that date as a potential option for the IndyCar GMR Grand Prix, which is held on the Speedway's road course as a prelude to the Indy 500, currently scheduled for May 9th, the same road course that the Xfinity Series will use on July 4th, the day before the Brickyard 400. Stay tuned to MRN.com for the latest as schedules come together over the next several weeks. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet@gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
Love that. Wyatt Cox, you're having fun today. You're snowbound there in Ely, but you're having so much fun. Name that tune. Go ahead.
One fine morning, girl, I'll wake up. Wipe the sea from my eyes. Go outside and
you're amazing. Put us out of our misery. Come on.
As you love me, girl, we'll fly.
Okay. Give us the scoop. Who was that?
Lighthouse, One Fine Morning. It was when, I think this was from the year you graduated. I think it was 71.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't
wow.
You remember that, don't you?
I do.
Bring, take
of course,
your,
those were, you know, they're...
takes you back to those days at Rockhurst.
There you go. Jesuit education. It'll do it for you every time.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi has a Thursday news conference just ahead of the House getting out of town. They're going to have to stay till tomorrow because they're going to vote tomorrow on this $2.2 trillion stimulus bill. But I wanted you to hear a portion of what Nancy Pelosi had to say just an hour or so ago. That's this morning in our nation's capital. Here it is.
Thank you. I'm not celebrating, though, until I can hug my grandbabies. I was waiting for that day. Hopefully that will be soon, but thank you. Last night, as you know, the Senate passed important legislation. We're very proud of the product. We think it is, we did jujitsu on it, that it went from a corporate first proposal that the Republicans put forth in the Senate to a workers first, Democratic workers first legislation. But let's first back up. As I was coming here, I saw that nearly 1,000 deaths in the United States, 900 yesterday, so I don't know what the number is today, but they're saying nearly 1,000 deaths in our country. Tens of thousands of people we have tens of thousands of cases. This is a pandemic that we haven't even seen for over 100 years in our country. It's really such a tragedy. So we had to take important action. We had to take action, though, that puts families first and workers first. And that's what we did when we did our first legislation. The first two bills were about addressing the emergency directly. $8.3 billion for research, for vaccine, for a cure. And that's, of course, the light at the end of the tunnel. Funding for testing, very important so that we know we can take inventory of the challenge that we face, and more importantly, that we can address each family's concerns about this. The next bill was about masks, so that we can test, among other things. Emergency. The bill that was passed in the Senate last night and that we will take up tomorrow is about mitigation for all the loss that we have in our economy while still addressing the emergency health needs that we have in our country. And next, we'll go from emergency mitigation to recovery in terms of where we go to grow the economy, to create more jobs in light of the reality that we've just been through. So right now we have the legislation that will come to the floor tomorrow. I anticipate and feel certain that we will have a strong bipartisan vote. And we take some pride in the fact that, as I said earlier, congressional Democrats in the Senate and in the House were able to flip this over from corporate trickle-down Republican version to bubble-up worker-first, families-first legislation. Again, we have some other things we want to do, but first we want to take pride in what happens there. For workers, we were able to get, of course, extended from what the Republicans wanted, and expanded unemployment insurance. This is so very, very important. Of course, in terms of funds that go to major corporations or companies or anyone, the direct condition is that, for example, with the airlines, that the money that is given to the airlines is given to the workers directly, just a pass through. It goes directly to the workers, and have some conditions on for other money that goes to any of these companies, that they have no buybacks, no dividends, no bonuses. All of those kinds of concerns are so offensive that happened before with federal funds infused into their entities. So we're very happy about all of that. One of the differences, as I said, they're corporate down, we're bubble up from workers. I think was demonstrated last night. Can you believe that I think 49 Republicans last night voted in the Senate to deprive those on unemployment insurance of the additional $600 a week. How could it be that in this time of stress and strain and uncertainty about health and life and livelihood that they would vote that way. But I think it does demonstrate the point that I made, that not about workers first, but the bill got to be there. And I thank the Senate Democrats for using the leverage they have with the 60 votes. I take pride in what we had in our House bill that is in the Senate bill now. So for workers and for families, with all three of our bills, we have put families and workers first. I hope that the UI will, right now we want people to take advantage of all of this quickly. The UI will depend on how the states do it, and they're not all uniform, but we want people to know exactly how they can benefit from that, and we're putting that all together so all of our members on both sides of the aisle can know how they can facilitate enabling their constituents to take advantage of the opportunities there. So again, the bill last night and tomorrow will be a large infusion of funds for hospitals, health systems, and state and local governments. We want more, this was a big, strong step, but we need more. Small businesses, I'm so proud of the work of all of our chairmen. They were just dazzling in their knowledge, their strategy, their experience in getting the right kind of bill passed, even though, again, compromising, not getting everything we want, but recognizing that we won the day. Small business won fast relief. Small business, they have meant for rent, mortgage, utility costs, eligible for SBA loan forgiveness. I salute Congresswoman, Madam Chair Nydia Velasquez for what she was able to accomplish there. Students, we secured billions of emergency education funding. Thank you, Bobby Scott, on our team, and our appropriators, Rosa DeLauro, Anita Lowy, et cetera, doing so much work there. Oh, don't get me started on naming my members. I'll be talking about all of them. I will, and you'll see how they are they present tomorrow on the floor. And we have oversight. You know, there was this idea that they put forth that there would be a $500 billion slush fund for the Secretary of the Treasury with no accountability whatsoever. Are you kidding? With all respect in the world for the Secretary, that was not a complete non-starter. So I'm pleased that language that was in the House bill and in the Senate bill has an Inspector General specifically for that account, and also a congressional panel of five people appointed by the leaders to oversee how that funding is dispersed.
There you have it, Nancy Pelosi. We'll see if we can get to more of Nancy Pelosi coming up in our next segment. She had her weekly news conference. This is an important one because this is the one where she describes essentially how and when they will get around to this $2.2 trillion stimulus package. 3 weeks from signature of the president, you should have money in your bank account, and a lot of it, $1,200. $2,400 for a couple, $3,000+ for the normal family of four. I mean, this is not just an $800 check. This is a lot of money. Stick around, more to do as we continue. It is Thursday. Don't forget, coming up top of the hour, Wayne Allen Root. We'll talk about what's going on in his world as we continue live and local now.
Where Nevada comes to talk, making radio great again. The official radio stations of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm Byron Bergeron, and I'm a lawyer. Now, I know that people don't like lawyers, but think of it like this. I'm here to level the playing field so you get a fair shake. Let me give you an example. You get into a wreck. Your insurance company wants you to think it represents you, and its priority is your best interests. You know, good hands. The truth is, its priority is its checkbook. And its shareholders. If it's to their advantage, they will throw you under the bus so fast, you'll think the mayhem guy in the TV commercial is driving. I have only one client, you. And I can keep these companies in line because I have only one shareholder to answer to, me. I answer my own phone. I return my own phone calls. And other than my wife and two babies, the most important people in the world are my clients. 775-229-3736. 775-229-3736. 3-6. When you need the field leveled so you can get a fair shake, call me.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan, have no equity, bad credit, or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit, and 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-712-8087. 800-712-8087. 800-712-8087. That's 800-712-8087.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-223-3831. 800-223-3831. 800-223-3831. That's 800-223-3831.
Are payday loans ruining your life? Do you want control over your money again? If you have two or more payday loan cash advances, listen closely. You may be eligible for a program payday loan companies don't want you to know about. A program that may help get aggressive and unfair payday loan companies out of your bank account and get you back on track to financial freedom. Payday loan companies may trap you into paying outrageously high interest rates, and they take way too much of your hard-earned money every week. We understand their tactics and know how to keep them off your back. We'll fight hard to help you regain control of your money. If you have two or more payday loan cash advances, call right now for a free consultation.
800-380-4429. 800-380-4429. 800-380-4429. That's 800-380-4429.
Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
The best there is, was, forever will be.
So good to have you with us. It is Live and Local Now for a Thursday. Wayne Allen Root coming up top of the hour. Very excited about that. Gotta love that. You gotta love that. There is only one Ric Flair. There is only one. There have been a lot of imitators over the years, but there's only one Ric Flair. I want to go back to Nancy Pelosi. Because she was in the midst of her weekly news conference, which became real important today because we're trying to figure out when the House is going to vote on this Senate bill, the stimulus bill, $2.2 trillion. Let's take you back to Nancy Pelosi about an hour ago.
Comes back down, though, to the fact that people are at risk. As I say, tens of thousands cases, nearly 1,000 deaths in the United States.
We're here for the messmakers, the day brighteners, and the inspirers.
I don't know what that was from, but Nancy Pelosi
said from the start that we must have a proposal that is government-wide, science-based, so that we can really address the challenge that we face in a scientific, evidence-based way. That is not necessarily the course that has been advocated by some, but it's where we must be if we're going to end this. From a scientific standpoint, we have the best minds working 24/7, all hands on deck to find a cure, which is, of course, the light at the end of the tunnel. But if we do not heed the advice of the scientific community about isolation and avoiding as much communal contact as possible, in fact, none, the light at the end of the tunnel may be a train coming at us, the proverbial train. And we cannot, every day, every week that is wasted on not taking that warning seriously is a problem. It's a problem. So let us thank our men and women, who our healthcare providers, our first responders, our emergency service people, firefighters, and the rest who are not only responding to this, but initiating their own efforts, sometimes risking their lives to save others' lives. We need to get them more personal protective equipment. That's absolutely essential, and it is a shortfall right now. We would hope that the government production office, the Defense Production Office agency would be called upon to call upon industry to convert to making ventilators and the rest. Testing. Mask. Ventilators. What's the mystery? We need many more. And a ventilator, just for your information, is not about making you breathe easier. It's making you breathe, period. It is vital to life and death in many, many, many cases. So we need an unlimited number, let's think of it that way, endless number of ventilators, and just to name one thing. But everyone, the farmers, the producers, the grocers, everyone who's keeping America fed, our truck drivers, postal workers, delivery people, everyone who is making this survival possible, we thank. And again, we thank our scientists for striving to find a cure. So tomorrow we will go to the floor for this legislation. But as I have said, there's so many things we didn't get in any of these bills yet in the way that we need to. So the next step would be, among other things, we want to have more better definition of who qualifies for family and medical leave. I can give you some examples if you wish. A stronger OSHA protections for our workers, essential to life. Pensions, we had a proposal on pensions in the legislation that my understanding was, and I trust it is true, that the president supported, but Senator McConnell wouldn't do it, but said we'll do it in the next bill. So we're ready for that. Increased SNAP. One disappointment in the bill was they would not increase. We were asking for a 15% increase in food stamps at this very fragile time for many families. They wouldn't do that in this bill. More money for state and local governments. That could be, I spoke with the secretary this morning about how we're just not doing enough for state and local government. That's just the way it is.
There you have it, Nancy Pelosi, her news conference earlier, about an hour and a half ago in our nation's capital. Before we leave you this hour, though, there is always so much bad news. I want to see if we can give you some good news to bridge to Wayne Allyn Root. And Wyatt Cox, our executive producer and the head of our Ely Bureau, you found a story that I think is really cool.
Well, yeah, Coleman Knitting Mills over in Ogden, Utah, has transformed from making their normal sportswear into making washable surgical masks and gowns for medical and first responders. And they transitioned into this about 5 days ago, and they are still doing it. And, you know, I've seen these stories out of Las Vegas and out of other places where people are sewing masks for the first responders. And here's in a situation where private enterprise on its own, without Nancy Pelosi, wanting to make it mandatory, here's a business that turned around and did it on their own.
I love that.
I mean, how does it get better than that, you know?
Well, and then you've got Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York saying, you know, the government needs to nationalize industries. Hey, we've got tons of people right in our hometowns that are making a difference that way.
Exactly. And I'm sure that people in New York City are doing the same thing. I'm sure they're out with their sewing machines and they're taking whatever scrap they have. I'm sure lots of them may have fabric, but this is independence. This is the nature of America, where we do it on our own without government mandates.
No, and that is so vitally important. That is where people, you know, we always say, well, how can I make a difference? I'm just one person. But it's amazing how one person turns into five, turns into 25. And once you get to social media and you go viral and you're on YouTube, all of a sudden you've just created a really good monster.
And a good monster. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. We have so many people with these rumors that are floating around. And I sent a message to the governor the other day during his press briefing asking, would he please quash these rumors that we're going to close the borders, that National Guard are going to come out and do this. Folks, this isn't happening. You know, we just have to be careful. We don't want this to become 1917. You know, you and I studied that in school where, and this is the thing, in 1917, they didn't cancel in New York City, St. Patrick's Day Parade. And after that parade, the cases of the Spanish flu exploded.
Wow. Coming up next, Wayne Allen Root, War Now. Last week, we talked, and he had just been fired by the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And he was not real happy about it. We'll see if his attitude has changed a little bit with the week. And we'll talk about what's going on relative to the coronavirus. All that and more coming up. It's Thursday. It's Live and Local now.